is The Fantasy Show with Andy McNamara and Shaw Ali on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
It is Sunday morning, and you know what that means. It is time for The Fantasy Show, getting you ready for Week 13. Lucky 13 in the National Football League. All your fantasy football starts and sits. We'll answer your questions, too. I'm Andy McNamara. Alongside Shaw Ali, we are delivered by Domino's Pizza, and you're listening across the Sportsnet Radio Network. We'll give you our Danger Zone picks a little bit later on. As I said, answer your questions. Maybe give away a little Domino's Pizza, too. We'll see how I'm feeling. Shaw, the Browns are on the bye week this week, so I'm not happy, nervous, sad, whatever. It's kind of a neutral feeling because they're on bye. So we'll see. Maybe as the show progresses, if you can keep me in a good mood, maybe I'll give away some Domino's pizza to our listeners.
Okay, you know what? That's always good when we can give away some pizza. But we're not giving away any pizza after the Browns-Ravens game last week, though, just to remind you.
This is not helping, show. It's not helping putting me in a good mood to give pizza away for the people.
So good. I remember, honestly, everyone, I texted Andy as soon as that game ended. Like, just right away as soon as that fourth down pass fell incomplete. It was great. It was great.
Actually, show the fourth down pass was completed for seven yards, right. And it was short of the first down mark.
There you go. On fourth down.
But, regardless, statistically, it was a completion.
Yeah, fair. That's fair. My mistake.
For Baker. And hey, other AFC North news. Big Ben Roethlisberger, we've been saying all year, should be ready for the glue factory. Apparently, he's quietly telling people, and then it quietly got out to the entire world that this is his last season. My thinking, show, is no bleep, Ben, you suck. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Andy, you're still there?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah.
All right, cool. Yeah, just you crapped out for a second there, but okay, we're all good. Okay, but it's funny the Big Ben story. I think the way that tweet was worded by Adam Schefter, it made it seem like he was leaving the door. He being Ben Roethlisberger was leaving the door open to maybe play quarterback for another team in 2022, perhaps. But yeah, I don't think that's happening.
Really?
Unfortunately, I think he is going to retire and going to go to the Hall of Fame when it's all said and done. But boy, I'll tell you this, Andy. When he retires, it's going to be like what happened with the Patriots last season is what's going to happen, right? The Steelers are going to be bad for a year. Everyone's going to cry about how this prestigious franchise is bad once again. And then they're going to finish with a top 10, top 15 pick. And then they're gonna get a nice rookie quarterback in a year where rookie quarterbacks are probably actually pretty plentiful. And then they'll be back to the top of the division in 2023, 2024.
They are a stable franchise. I will give them that. Their current quarterback situation, as it stands without Ben Roethlisberger right now, as bad as he is even worse. Like, you still have Mason Rudolph. I like Dwayne Haskins coming out of Ohio State. Yeah, he's had his own self-inflicted issues with COVID, mm-hmm. going to gentlemen's clubs unmasked. Not a great look.
Nope.
Not a great look for not being selfish. But is the answer a quarterback for the Steelers on their team right now? I would wager no. I can see what you're saying happening, but I'll tell you this. I'm going to enjoy that one down year and stomping on those pea yellow terrible towels. Oh, I can't stand you, Pittsburgh. But I do hope that they take down the Ravens today and soften them up for the Browns next week. AFC North is pretty interesting, show, right? Like, you got the Bengals, and it's a case where, and I think it's something for the whole NFL, where just when you think you have it figured out of which team is great, they get beaten by the Jets, the Jags, some weird thing happens, and then you don't know. Like, we saw that with the Dallas Cowboys. We've seen that with Tennessee Titans, a whole bunch of teams.
Yeah, absolutely. The Chiefs have had some pretty grisly losses. Like, I think you're right. Yeah, like literally every top contender in the AFC and the NFC across the entire National Football League have had some just truly grisly, grotesque losses at the hands of teams. Like, those are the kinds of losses that people lose their Survivor Week picks on, right? Like, we run this big Survivor pool for, like, basically everyone at Sportsnet. Like, not just at the Fan, but like downstairs where the TV guys are, on the web desk. Like, it's like literally hundreds of people are in this survivor pool. And if I always feel like if I ever make, I think I made it to the last like 25, I think like 2 years in a row. And then this year, no chance, just like 0% chance. I made it out of like week 10. It was pretty bad. So, but yeah, it's survivor pool picking this year. Pretty tough. Fantasy start sits this year pretty tough sometimes, right? As we've as we can probably attest to, right? I mean, I feel like this is week 13, so I guess it's an odd number of weeks. So I guess we can say that Miles Gaskin might have a good week this week, right? It's like that's the kind of
good.
That's the kind of like prognosticating that you can do now, because it feels like because of the nature of how parity has affected the NFL, you can basically go in any direction you want.
It's true, and let's segue quick to the injury front to their opponent, and that's the New York Giants. Daniel Jones, who by no means anyone gets super excited about for fantasy, but he could always, you know, go off with his legs or anything. He's out with a neck injury. Trot in the big bird gangly Mike Glennon. Oof. He's like 7 feet tall and takes it. His problem remained in the NFL as it was when he came out of college. Because of his super long body, it takes him too long to wind up and throw the football, and then he gets sacked or the ball knocked away. And that's what happens because he's a giant human being. And he is going to start for the New York Giants. So, show to me real quick, where you look at the Giants in general, mm-hmm. you wouldn't get excited really about any player. You become even less excited. So sort of, I think maybe tipping our hand to the Giants game later. I would try to stay clear with Glennon under center.
Oh yeah, look, I think we're gonna do Giants Dolphins as our first game, like in about you know, maybe 20 minutes or so. But Giants, like if anyone asks any questions today, and I see some questions in the text line. So if you want to get your text line questions in right now, you can at 590-590. You can also tweet us at SNS Ali with two L's, at AndyMC81 for Andy, and of course at Fan590. So we'll answer all your questions as we always do, but between now and kickoff, we'll answer all those questions if you send them in at some point. We'll get to most of them right after the show. But when it comes to the Giants, yeah, I mean, it's basically Saquon Barkley and nobody else. And even Saquon Barkley, I think you have to expect, like, at best, like a 10-point effort from Saquon Barkley today, because I would be shocked. The Dolphins, the defensive unit has been pretty good as of late, and I would be shocked if Brian Flores and company weren't just stacking the box on literally every play so that the Giants' running game can't get going, and just, you know, they're hoping that essentially Mike Glennon can make a play with whichever wide receiver is actually active today, right? Like the Giant, we've kind of crapped on Daniel Jones sometimes, but you know what? He is a better quarterback than Mike Glennon, and that team has really seen their fair share of both injuries and COVID things. Like, boy, it has been a miserable season to be a Giants fan. Who did we have on who was a Giants fan? It was Tommy Dreamer, right? I feel bad for Tommy Dreamer and all the other Giants fans.
Oh, Dreamer. Yes, Tommy Dreamer is a Giants fan, yeah. Tough year for Tommy.
Yeah.
That's this Giants team, you never realize how much you miss even a mediocre quarterback until they're gone. And that's what we're going to see. It is, like you said, an interesting week. There's four teams on bye. And I was thinking, oh, I'm all right. Well, this is the last week for byes. No, because it's week 17. Mm-hmm. There's more byes next week. Next week is the last week. So we're getting into that playoff time, but we have to remember for fantasy football, we're shifting everything a week ahead, right? You get one extra week. So this week, we're without the Browns, the Packers, the Titans, the Panthers. So some pretty significant capital that's taking a seat.
Yeah, absolutely. And like Andy said, I'm sure at this point, everyone who's in a playoff spot is already checking the buys and so on, because that's the kind of thing you do if you're a competent fantasy football manager, I would say. But at the same time, I just say, you know, it's a good reminder, because, for example, in one of my leagues, I mean, I think I've said before, I'm in five leagues this year. In one of those leagues, the playoffs start next week. So that means there will be playoff games where some teams in playoff spots have players on their bye week. So
bad commissioner.
So they're going to have to hope that they essentially get, they get through the next level of the playoffs without their guys who are on bye and make it going forward. So, yeah, I think I've seen some texts as well on the text line that, yeah, this is the second last week of the regular season. I would say most leagues, I think the default for both most Yahoo, ESPN, NFL.com, Sleeper, whatever app you use, This regular season ends tomorrow, but this is a good. I mean, we've been saying it for weeks, but I mean, they're, you know, stashing guys. If you're in a spot too as well, Andy, I don't know how much you feel, how good you feel about this. But for example, the Patriots are on bye next week. Nick Folk has been the best kicker in the NFL. Do you roster Nick Folk through his bye? I say yes, right? I say yes if you can afford to. Some teams may not be able to afford you because you have short benches and what have you. But if you're in a playoff spot and you have like a top defense or a top kicker, you should try and keep them if you absolutely possibly can.
That's why I'm always a fan show of trying to get a week ahead of the bye week, like really tracking it. One, through the draft, like we preach, is really try to maximize that and don't get too heavy on 1 week. But, you know, it's going to happen. So I always try, like if Nick Folk was for next week, last week would have been the week I'm like, okay, well, I'll try to pick up that extra kicker if I can. Because if you have deeper benches, there's always that extra running back or wide receiver that you just never use. Yeah. You never use them. So that's a case where you can drop it. Like, for example, this week, I dropped a player and I picked up the Indianapolis defense while keeping the Buffalo defense because I really like the Bills defense. I wasn't so crazy about them playing the Patriots this Monday because Pats have been looking good and, you know, could they? I'm like, and I had an extra and a guy I could drop. So I was like, I'm going to go with the Colts defense. I'll drop them next week, try to pick up something else. So that type of think ahead, same type of idea you can do with kickers.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I think, and again, some teams may not be able to do that, right? And I think, again, and if you're in a playoff spot, you know, I'm sure, guy, you've all thought ahead to that already. So I don't think you need us reminding you, but just in case, right? Because yeah, you don't want to lose someone like Nick Folk because you know some opportunistic league mate of yours will snatch them out of the waiver wire. Like, there's a couple leagues I have Nick Folk where it's like you're right on the knife's edge as to whether these teams are going to make the playoffs or not. There's no chance I'm dropping Nick Folk for one of those other guys to use in the playoffs next week. Like, I'll say this too. Even if you're not going to make the playoffs, I know it's tough to kind of be engaged through to the end of the year because, you know, not a lot to play for sometimes. But I will say I live for going out there and picking up guys who my league mates could use just so they don't make the playoffs or just to affect the seeding. Like one of my favorite things,
yes.
like today, for example, I put in a waiver bid for in one of our Superflex leagues. One of my other league mates, he had Jalen Hurts and Tua going. And it looks like Jalen Hurts may not play today. That you have to monitor that, okay? So if you have Jalen Hurts in the league, monitor that for sure, because apparently he has that bad ankle. And if he doesn't play, you will be stuck like my league mate here, because he has Tua and Jalen. His backup is Daniel Jones, who has already been ruled out like we talked about. So I went to the waiver wire, and I picked up every available quarterback just because I dropped a whole bunch of guys that I probably will never play, like you were saying, Andy. I picked up Big Ben. I picked up Zach Wilson. I even picked up Mike Glennon, because those are the only guys available on the waiver wire, just so he only has to start one quarterback in a super flex league. That's what you got to do, in my opinion. I know some people have fall on different sides of whether or not that's good or not, but you know what, in my opinion, it's all fair. If it's available to do in the league settings, it's all fair, my opinion.
So I love it. I love the heel turn. I appreciate that. Absolutely. It's a case where if you that's all part of the fun, part of the engagement of being in your fantasy football league. If you can't win, drag as many people down to fantasy hell with you. Drag them by the feet, kick it. They're like, no, but drag them underneath. That's what you have to do. I love it. I think that's a great idea. Quick tweet in from @Metzger14_ on Twitter says, @AndyMCD1, up bright and early with you guys for the fantasy show in Calgary. And he asks a question. We'll get to the question at the top of the next hour, but thank you for getting up nice and early with us @Metzger14_.
Yeah, we get a lot of texts from, like, I mean, obviously you and I are based in like the Toronto /GTA area, right? Like and certainly in the Eastern time zone. And we get a lot of texts from listeners out in Vancouver, in Calgary, in Saskatchewan, all, you know, basically all across the country. So we always appreciate everyone texting in. And like Andy said, we will get to all of your messages in the next 45 minutes. And if we don't, we will answer you anyways before kickoff.
That's right. And there's listeners in Newfoundland, New Brunswick, all over the place. I think we've gotten texts from every provinces except for Quebec. What's up, Quebec?
Yeah, that's a good question. I feel like we got a text once from like Quebec, someone in Quebec City. But I think that was, I want to say that was during the baseball season when
probably a Habs fan. Yeah. I don't need him. I don't need you. That's fine. Unless you are listening now, then welcome. Welcome aboard. Yes. That's fine. Here's some interesting news, show. Now, the Eagles, you mentioned Jalen Hurts, but the Eagles are going to be watching the Indianapolis Colts game very closely today because they're playing the Texans. But the reason they'll be watching is with 62 snaps, Carson Wentz earns his former club a first-round pick. That was part of the stipulation with the trade, that mega deal that was made with the Eagles and the Colts when Wentz went over. The second-round pick that was part of that deal becomes a first-rounder if Wentz plays 75% of the plays for the season for Indianapolis. And with 62 snaps for today, he will hit that mark. So that's a big day for Eagles fans who now all of a sudden will have an extra first-round pick. They'll have, check this out, they'll have the eighth overall. If the season were to end today, Eagles would have the eighth overall pick, the ninth overall pick from Miami, and the 14th pick from the Colts. If things were to stay the same today.
Wow. Talk about accelerating a rebuild, right? I mean, my goodness. I mean, I guess like for the Eagles, like if they have all of those picks, do you think they take a quarterback with any one of those picks? You know what? I personally, based on what I've read and kind of sort of seen here and there out of the college QBs, I think no, but you never know, honestly.
Unless someone really grabs their attention, like let's say it is as it's looking right now, because remember coming into the year, Spencer Rattler.
Yeah.
He's it, and now, you know, didn't do much.
No.
If it maintains, if the feeling is that it is going to be a mediocre quarterback class, and almost to a man, every year, there's going to be somebody in the next, as these bowl games start, there's going to be a quarterback that leaps off the page that no one has really thought of yet. Like it's a Carson Wentz it happened to, a Josh Allen it happened to, Zach Wilson even a bit, right? Like there is a lot of guys that jump up. If I'm the Eagles right now, what I'm doing is maybe looking to bundle those or a couple of those picks into one or two first rounders next year, see if I can get some assets or something back as well to build a bit. Still try to build up your team and don't force it. Because right now, from what I see, unless you're going to bundle everything and try to go hard at Deshaun Watson, and that's still up in the air as far as who knows what's going to happen with him, I would try to push those picks to next year and then really load up. But as we know, show, like, the quarterbacks could fall flat next year. It seems like every year, the next year's group is better. Every year, it's like, oh, wait till that 2022 class, that was last year. And now it's like, it's not so good. But that 2023 class, oh, you just wait.
Yeah, the 2023 class is phenomenal. Yeah, I think it's going to be a really exciting year I guess it's never exciting when you're a fan of the franchise that is picking in like the top 5 or top 10 because that means you had a terrible season the year prior. But it would be an exciting time to be a fan of one of those teams if you know you're getting a difference maker at QB, right? I mean, look at the difference Mac Jones has made for the Patriots. I mean, I know Justin Fields is injured, but he has flashed at times. Trevor Lawrence has flashed at times as well, but of course Jacksonville is bereft of basically skill position players at literally every level of that team, right? So I think it'll definitely take some time, but it'll be really interesting to see not only what the Eagles do, but what the 2023 draft class does look like. I do see a QB text here. I want to read this one to you, or at least part of this one to you, Andy. I know we're gonna get to the rest of the texts. In about 40 minutes or so. This one's from Joe M. in Toronto. It says, great show, guys. Keep you guys tuned driving on Sunday mornings. Thank you very much, Joe.
Thank you.
He also says, Big Ben will have a big day today. 300-plus yards and 3 touchdowns with some crying, laughing emojis. So there you go. Bam! Listen, Big Ben. Big day for Big Ben.
I hope he does. It's against the Ravens. I hope he does. The only team I can't stand more than the Steelers is the Ravens. So I'm rooting for the Steelers today. Rough them up a little bit.
Wow. Hey, Santos, can we clip that part that where Andy says I'm rooting for the Steelers today? We'll just play it on loop every week. You just said it. I did. You said it on your own volition, man.
For today, absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, you know what? Let's get to a couple other news.
The Browns will play, and I'm gonna just point to Santos, and it'll be like, Santos, who is Andy rooting for today? I'm rooting for the Steelers today.
No one will believe it. No one will believe it. Salary cap expected to go up the max to $208.2 million next year, which means that the big spending should be back in free agency. Ian Rappaport reporting Antonio Brown's future because of his fake COVID vaccine. He'll be suspended 3 games. The Buccaneers will then decide what to do with him after that. I don't know if you saw a show, just some of like the great memes where it's like Antonio Brown's like vaccination card was going around. It was like it was written in crayon, or him with like in his jersey as a pitcher. Like it's a serious issue, but it's really quite funny what the internet was able to do.
Oh yeah, you know the internet never is undefeated, Andy. The internet is 1,000,000% undefeated. It will never lose. Never take on the internet. Never do anything dumb. But yeah, no, that whole thing with Antonio Brown is just, oh gosh, what a miserable experience. Both like just completely beyond the ethics of what he did, which obviously are not great, and the optics and all that stuff. From a fantasy perspective, he looked like maybe the steal of the draft after like the first month of the season. Like he looked like Brady was like force feeding him the football. He looked amazing. And then, of course, the high ankle sprain, like, you know, you can't really do much about that. People get injured. What are you going to do, right? But then all the suspension on top of that, and oh, my goodness. Like, if he comes back during the playoffs, which looks likely at this point, then you know what? You might get a pretty crazy wild card, like, in the middle of your playoff run if you do roster Antonio Brown. But I'll say this, Andy, and we'll probably get to this at some point today, but with Antonio Brown out for at least the next 3 weeks, in my opinion, Rob Gronkowski, I mean, maybe he already was to a lot of people, but I think it is entirely possible because of the way he has Brady's trust. It looks like Gronk is maybe a locked-in, bona fide, top-three tight end play, honestly, for the rest of the season. Like, especially if Antonio Brown is out for a couple weeks.
Well, I think Chris Godwin as well. I'm hoping I got him on one of my teams. I'm hoping that the workload continues to grow more so to Chris Godwin as well. But, yeah, for Gronk, like, show, this seems like the plan. He had the banged up back. He sat for like what, 6-7 weeks, and now he's back, you know, go strong for the playoffs. That's what real life Rob Gronkowski at this point in his career is about, right? And yeah. So I don't, and if there's no other injury and it's just maintenance, Gronk should be good to go from now until potentially another Super Bowl.
So yeah, I would think so.
You go hard with Gronk, absolutely.
Yeah, look, I honestly think if the only tight end you should be starting over Gronk on a week-to-week basis is, of course, Travis Kelce. But, I mean, look, Darren Waller is injured. I'm not sure. I don't think he's playing today.
Nope.
So I think Foster Moreau. The island of Foster Moreau. That's still one of my favorite names. So if you don't have Darren Waller available, I know TJ Hockenson is probably still someone you can play. But, I mean, the last time the Lions played the Vikings, Hockenson was held to 2 catches for 22 yards. So, do you want to take the chance with that, given how volatile the Lions offense has been, especially without DeAndre Swift, right? So we say this literally every week, but the tight end position is so volatile that I think if you have Gronk, you just, even if you have another tight end, you flex Gronk or you flex another guy, because I just think like Gronk has to be in your starting lineup now going forward, basically no matter what, because Brady throws him the ball if he's open or not, essentially, at this point.
Yeah, I actually stole your Island of Foster Moreau joke. Ooh. Show when I did. I do a weekly fantasy interview with our buddies out in Calgary on Sportsnet 960.
All right.
Calgary with Will Nault. And he didn't really get it. And so then I threw you under the bus. I was like, that show's joke from the fantasy show. So if it worked, I was going to own it. And then when it didn't, I was like, thanks. That's you. So just so you know.
That's you know what? That's fair. I throw you under the bus all the time. So that's totally fair.
I like it. All right. A few other injury notes and we'll hit the break and get to your fantasy football start. Since James Robinson of the Jaguars, heel and knee injury is a game time decision. The three words we hate the most in fantasy football, game time decision. The assumption is that he would not have played earlier in the week, but apparently he is feeling better and has a realistic chance the pregame workout will be key, says Ian Rappaport. So good Lord, we got to be watching that Jacksonville pregame warm-up wherever you're watching football. For the Washington football team, Curtis Samuel, groin injury, still listed as questionable. I always feel whenever there's a groin injury show, we need that like Hans Moleman from The Simpsons. It's like football to the groin.
Right.
It just works. Josh Jacobs of the Raiders, ankle, and DeSean Jackson, calf, both are listed as questionable, are expected to play, as is Odell Beckham Jr. for the Rams, hip injury. Surprise, surprise, he's hurt. Clyde Edwards-Helaire missed Friday with an illness, non-COVID illness for the Chiefs, was at the Saturday walkthrough, should play today versus the Broncos. So those are just a few of the start, sits, and show, in case you were interested. David Johnson, who you should not be playing in any capacity, is not expected to play today. Rex Burkhead season. Let's go. who's with me.
I know. Look, hey, Andy, dare either of us use Rex Burkhead for our Danger Zone pick today? I was thinking about it. I'm honestly thinking about it today. We'll see.
Well, so I'll do you one better, man. Because I use Yahoo primarily, so my two leagues, it's in Yahoo. I've been upgraded to platinum status for the fantasy football play over the last couple weeks, up to platinum, which is the best. And I was on platinum. You clip that. My platinum pick of the week. I am in bye week hell, injury hell. I got two guys on IR. It's a mess at running back. So show, I picked up sexy Rexy himself, Burkhead, all day against Indy.
I'm not sure if I also like playing the Burke. I probably have to in one league. Like there's one league where I had DeAndre Swift, AJ Brown, and Kyler Murray, and all of those guys have missed time like relatively recently. And so because of this, I and certainly Swift is out today. So here are the running backs in this. This is a 14 team league, right? Here are the running backs that I'm playing in this league today: Devontae Freeman, Kenneth Gainwell, and Rex Burkhead.
Oh my!
If I get 15 points combined from all three of those guys, I'm gonna be pretty happy. Happy with that. Yeah.
Yikes. Oh my, that's rough. Okay, we'll keep you up to date on any injury news notes as it affects your fantasy football team coming up, but we'll take the break and begin the week 13 starts and sits for every single game. We'll take your calls at the top of the hour on the People's text line, give away some Domino's pizza at some point. Danger Zone picks, a lot more show coming up. This is the Fantasy Show. We are delivered by Domino's Pizza across the Sportsnet radio network. I'm rooting for the Steelers today.
This is the Fantasy Show with Andy McNamara and Show Ali on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
We are back and rolling on the Week 13 NFL edition of the Fantasy Show, delivered by Domino's Pizza. I'm Andy McNamara alongside Show Ali. You can get us on Twitter at AndyMC81, at SNSLE, at the Fantasy Show. We are delivered by Domino's Pizza, folks. Perfect football food day. It always is, but you can get yourself unlimited two-topping large pizzas for just $10.99 each. As many as you want. Stay in, watch the games, order, delivery, carryout, whatever. Side dishes, desserts to all at dominoes.ca. That's dominoes.ca. We'll open up the People's text line at the top of the hour as well. You can text in 590-590, name and location. We've got a bunch of tweets in as well. So before we do all that, show, we'll get to our fantasy football start sits. You ready to go?
Yeah, let's do it, man.
Let's hit it.
Giants at Dolphins.
Now, we touched on this a little bit earlier. Folks, Daniel Jones is out. Daniel Jones on his own, not a great quarterback. Fantasy, you know, you can talk yourself into some situations. But you never missed Daniel Jones as much as when his alternative is Mike Glennon, old Big Bird himself. 7 feet tall, arms go down to the ground, longest wind-up in football. Do not play any New York Giant unless it's Saquon Barkley, and you only play Saquon Barkley because you have to. Other than that, I don't want any wide receivers. I don't want tight ends. I don't want Devontae Booker. I want nobody on the Giants this week, show. Not a one.
Yeah, I think Saquon Barkley is the only one you could talk me into. And I think because of the buys and injuries, some people will have no choice but to start Saquon Barkley, right? And I mean, I think
I can live with that.
Yeah, and I think, like you said, like, because he's probably going to get just an absolute ton of carries. He's probably going to get a ton of carries for Saquon Barkley is probably still like 17 to 20 carries, which it doesn't seem like a lot, but given the game script of this game will probably be a negative, let's put it that way, for the New York Giants. I wouldn't be surprised if things do not go Barkley's way and go Mike Glennon's way, but yeah, Barkley is the only guy I think you could talk me into. It's Galladay, Shepard, Tony, Slayton, Engram, Rudolph. No, none of those guys. I want none of it. On the Dolphins side of things, the Dolphins side of things is interesting, right? Because I think you can probably start Tua on a week to week basis now. You know, there are some definitely better matchups for him. He's been pretty good, actually, all things considered, over the course of the entire season. Like, considering he got injured and like had the rib injury and missed time like right away, since he's come back, he's been pretty decent, I would say, right? So I think you can start Tua. I think you can start Jalen Waddle at any week basically now. But my question for you, Andy, is Devontae Parker is going to play today. He is going to play. Yeah. And we saw when Devontae Parker came back for that one game before he got re-injured, Tua, like, force-fed him the ball. He got, like, 11 targets or something like that. Like, it was crazy, right? Like, he basically fed him the ball to the detriment of the entire rest of the Miami offense. So my question to you, Andy, is how does Devontae Parker's return, or how much should that affect playing guys like Waddle and even Myles Gaskin, who has been a little more valuable as of late?
For Waddle, I don't think it affects it at all. You got to plug and play Waddle. Absolutely, especially in PPR. I just think, show the chemistry coming out of college, as we hoped was there, is there, and continues just to be a force. I don't think there's a situation where both are healthy that you do not start Jaylen Waddle. And I actually see it more of that Mike Gesicki might be the one suffering as far as touches compared to Waddle, because in that Week 8 game where Parker went off, Gesicki's targets went down from the previous weeks of 7, 9, 8 to 4. Ooh. So that's pretty significant when you're looking at that in that, you know, one game sample size was against, you know, the Buffalo Bills, really good defense. How much does that go into effect, et cetera? But if we're looking at it from all that we've had to work with, that's the one game. And in that game, Gesicki's targets shrunk by half. So that's where I'm looking at where the suffering is going to be, not for Waddle.
Would you start Parker today against the Giants?
Yeah, like I would do it more as a flex. I just hate guys coming off of lengthy absences.
That's fair. Yeah,
like,
that's fair.
You know, and as well, I think we could also see a situation where maybe they get up quick. Now, if they get up quick, maybe Parker's the guy who catches a touchdown and it benefits. Maybe, right? But guy coming back, leaning in, maybe this is a game where they're like, okay, we got a bye next week too. Let's ease him in, let him super rest up, and then come back strong the following week against the Jets. I think this might be, oh, I can't believe I'm saying this. I think this might be a Myles Gaskin day. He's gonna hose me now, show. I know it. He's gonna get 4 fantasy points today. Gaskin's gonna get 4 fantasy points. Make me look like an idiot.
I have started Myles Gaskin basically like for like 3 straight weeks, and he has been like, honestly, he has been great. Like, he has been absolutely phenomenal. I dropped him. Yeah, I know you did. So I think he's probably, like, the way I look at it with Gaskin is he's probably an RB2. I mean, he, Philip Lindsay, I'm not sure. I forget what the update on Lindsay was as of this morning. But he had been limited, I think, all week, I think, in practice. So he's doubtful. So, because he had gotten a dozen carries, I think, in his very first game as a Dolphin last week. And Myles Gaskin still got 18 touches and a pair of touchdowns. But it was interesting because the snap share for Myles Gaskin last week, even though he still had all those fantasy points, was his lowest level since week 6. Week 6 because of Philip Lindsay. But if Lindsay is doubtful, I would imagine that goes back up, right? Like, volume-wise, like, he may not see, like, Parker's return may mean maybe Gaskin is the guy who gets siphoned, right, in terms of touches and passes through the air and so on. But, hey, I mean, he's been so great, I feel like you have to start him. But like you said, yeah, it's a risky proposition with that Miami offense. I'll put it that way.
And the Giants have given up the third most fantasy points to the running back position. Ooh. So, Giants, Dolphins, done. Let's move on.
Colts at Texans.
Chatted about this one a little bit earlier. From the Colts standpoint, where if Carson Wentz plays 62 snaps, the Philadelphia Eagles get a first-round pick. It upgrades from the second rounder based on the stipulation from that trade before when Carson went over to the Colts. So Eagles fans will be watching this game very closely, at least up to that 62-snap point. I think this is a great game for the Colts, show. I think it's something where we're into a point now. And I don't know about you, but I love consistency in fantasy football. Even though it might not be the most exciting talking points, I like to know who can I rely on every single week. And it was a bit of an up and down situation for a while with the Colts the last couple of years. But show, we've settled in. We know Jonathan Taylor, arguably the best running back in all football right now, fantasy-wise, maybe real life-wise. And Michael Pittman is at worst a WR2 who has weekly top wide receiver uptick. Now, the fantasy point production has been down over the last 2 weeks, but the opportunities there, the targets are there. 5 targets, 10 targets. You know, I think it's going to come back big time. I think Pittman has a huge day against Houston.
My only concern is, and I don't think you're not wrong. Like, you're definitely starting Michael Pittman, right? You're definitely doing that. Like, I don't think anyone has the depth at this point of the year to bench someone like Michael Pittman, right? So if you do, no, kudos to you. Like, truly, I wish you the best, because that is a great drafting or a great job you did managing your roster this year. But my only concern with the passing game is if you look back to last week, because we know the Buccaneers, they're most vulnerable through the air, right? And so Carson Wentz played pretty well last week. He had over 24 fantasy points. Mm-hmm. He had 306 passing yards. He really aired the ball out, and we know that's a thing that the Colts are the Buccaneers are vulnerable to, like I said. But I mean, he threw the ball 44 times. I don't think he's throwing the ball 44 times against the Texans, right? Like this, like I'm not saying it's going to be another like 50 point explosion for Jonathan Taylor, but I would be shocked if this game got, like, this game probably will get out of hand in favor of the Colts, but it's just, I feel like with the passing volume that is the Colts offense, I'm like a little worried that, you shouldn't be over relying on any of the passing options in this game, just because I don't think Wentz is going to throw, he's probably going to be on the field a lot, but he just probably won't throw the ball all that much is what I'm worried about.
Do you think what they'll do, like clinch a playoff spot and then sit him for the last like 4 weeks of the season so that the Eagles don't get a first round pick? How great would that be?
That would be terrific. That'd be pretty funny. Like, I mean, I know people will cry about that on social media and so on, but that actually would be pretty funny if they like gamified the first round picks like that.
That'd be pretty cool. But T.Y. Hilton, too. I know we get some text. He caught a touchdown, people. Anytime T.Y. Hilton or Deshaun Jackson catch a touchdown, we get flooded with, oh, do I play T.Y.? Do I play Deshaun? No, don't chase the points, people.
Andy,
T.Y.
I'll say this.
Hilton will I'll not
say,
have it.
I'll say this, Andy. If there was ever a week to start T.Y. Hilton, ever, like in this entire season, it's this week. Because for like, I don't know what it is. I don't know if T.Y. Hilton has like inside information on what the Houston Texans do on a week-to-week basis, but that man specifically against the Texans. Like if you look up the stats, T.Y. Hilton has, because I mean, he's only ever played for the Colts. So obviously he plays the Texans like twice a year, right? So obviously this goes a little more for receivers like within the AFC South than it does anyone else. But still, T.Y. Hilton has had more yardage and touchdowns against the Texans than any other team in his entire career. And he's been in the NFL for like a decent amount of time.
Yeah.
It's like filthy the amount of the kinds of things he does to the Texans, right? So again, if there was ever a week to do it, I feel like I would bet on it this week. But again, like you said, it's logically speaking, he's probably not going to be involved that much when you have guys like Michael Pittman and Jonathan Taylor. But still, I wouldn't be surprised if he caught a touchdown against the Texans today.
That'd be an interesting flex play if you're feeling a little froggy there. Brandon Cooks for the Texans, questionable, but is expected to play. He has a non-COVID-related illness, is expected to play. Cooks right now, the numbers he's put up, Joe, he's kind of a real low-end WR2. Not his fault. It's the quarterback situation, how bad the Texans are. Like, that's what it is. And we talked about it earlier. God help us. Rex Burkhead is
Sexy
going in my
Rexy.
Lineup today.
Sexy oh, Rexy, Andy. Let's go.
Gee, what a time to be alive. What a time to be. Rex Burkhead with that cue ball head of his running around in Houston. Oh, boy. You know what's surprising to me, though, on the passing side? The Colts have given up the fifth most fantasy points to wide receivers this year. And I think maybe we consider their defense, which has been good, but I think I just when I think of them off the top of my head, maybe it harkens back a year or so ago when they were really good. Mm-hmm. And it's just not that at that case. So they can be exploited on the wide receiver side. Running the ball, however, they've given up the seventh fewest fantasy points to running backs. But maybe just by pure necessity, Burkhead will have to touch the football.
Patriots legend Rex Burkhead scored the game-winning touchdown in the AFC Championship game to send the Patriots to the playoffs at Arrowhead Stadium, Andy. Oh, baby. I very well may be starting Rex Burkhead myself in one of my fantasy leagues. So you and I are quite invested, more than we ever hoped we would be at this point of the 2021 season, but we are quite invested into sexy Rexy Burkhead this week.
There's also Royce Freeman and Jalen Samuels on the roster. So Jalen Samuels, 120 on the ground today.
Yeah, probably. Honestly, probably.
Like, it could be. David Johnson's not. Texans, come on. Taylor.
It's going to be a remember Taylor, Tyrod scored, what, he had two touchdowns on the ground a couple of weeks ago? It's going to be one of those games. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, that could very well be. Listen, folks, we're not saying we want to play Rex Burkhead. It was just like, I literally went through the waiver wire options trying to talk myself into any other running back for my team. I'm like, is there an argument I could make for any other running back available on my waiver wire? And the answer was no. Yeah. So I didn't want this to happen, but here it is. So
yeah, here we are.
There you go. Okay, so Colts, Texans, done. Let's move on.
Vikings at Lions.
Okay, well, for the Vikings, this is the big story coming into the week show and why. If you can hold on to those super valuable backups, those handcuffs, it pays off, especially Alexander Mattison, I don't think it's going out on a limb at all to say this is the most valuable handcuff in all of fantasy football, because Cook inevitably inevitably misses like at least two games every year. Yeah. Like for whatever reason, at least. And when given those few opportunities, he's been given it twice this year. And going back to last year, even Madison always goes for over 100 yards on the ground. Always. He always gets over 20 fantasy points. And Cook is out today against the Lions. Like Alexander Madison realistically could be like a top one or two overall fantasy producer for week 13.
Yeah, I think, it's, you know what, the two running backs in this game, the two primary running backs, Jamal Williams and Alexander Madison, I think are like must starts today, right? They have to be started.
Oh, yeah.
And again, I don't think you need us telling you to start Alexander Madison because we've, like you said, we've all seen over the last, what, like season and a bit, like maybe two full seasons that he has been, like he's essentially a plug-in replacement for Dalvin Cook, right?
The way, given the chance.
Yeah, yeah. The Vikings just run the ball very, very well. They run it early. They run it often. And that is on an offense that still has guys like Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen, right? So I agree with you. Yeah, I mean, look, even if you look back to week 10 of this year, he actually played Detroit and he just annihilated them for 113 rushing yards and caught all seven targets for 40 yards and one touchdown. Of course, that was the week I played Alexander Madison. I played against him, I should say. So, of course, that's how that cookie crumbles, right? But if you have Alexander Madison, yeah, he is a must-start. He's absolutely phenomenal. Where do you fall, Andy, on the idea of rostering running back? Pardon me, rostering handcuffs. And I mean, handcuffs are largely running backs anyways, but rostering handcuffs for running backs that you don't have. Like, let's say you don't have Dalvin Cook and you take up you spend a bench spot on Madison, even though you don't have Cook on your roster.
100%. I love doing that. I like that show probably as much as if I had Dalvin Cook because it gives you a chance. And this is all, again, we talked about before, how deep is your bench? Maybe you can't afford to do that. Maybe you need to fill it with another spot. But if you can, you do for two reasons. One, spots like this where you're not counting on the guy. And boy, now all of a sudden you could pop in Madison and it just makes your whole starting depth that much better. Or, depending on the time of year, you can try to hold up that Cook owner if he missed significant time or maybe CMC for Hubbard, whatever the situation is. And that is prime time trade bait right there. So either you're using him or you have a prime trade bait if something happens at a key point in the season that you can use. So I love if you don't have them, absolutely. If you can afford it, get those handcuffs on there. You never know, especially with a guy with an injury history like Cook, right? And now like Christian McCaffrey, for example.
Yeah, like that's what I mean too, right? I don't just mean with Cook. I know you covered that, right? But yeah, just for people listening, yeah.
In general.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. Generally speaking,
for
right?
Sure.
Like yeah, Chuba Hubbard for CMC, and that's going to be a thing going forward. I think like generally speaking, that's going to be a thing going forward, right? Tony Pollard for Ezekiel Elliott, right? I mean,
yeah,
they're
standalone value too.
Yeah, Mark Ingram for Alvin Kamara, right? I mean, no, he's banged up too, and he did not really return any value in that Thursday nighter against Dallas. But yeah, I was just curious that the idea of rostering handcuffs that aren't yours is always it's kind of like divisive. I feel like the idea of doing that. So I'm kind of with you. I think if you can afford to do it, I'm with you. But sometimes you can't, right? But
It really depends on your roster, on your spot, you know, and how real quick on that Thursday night game. Was there a more Taysom Hill game than that game?
Oh, baby. Oh, man.
Two passing touchdowns, four interceptions, and he ran for 101 yards. Fantasy poison. I've said that before. Taysom Hill should have a big skull and crossbones over his profile picture on any fantasy league. Fantasy poison for everything around you. He just like salts the earth. He doesn't just burn the ground. Show they put salt on it so nothing will grow again. Look at poor Mark Ingram. If you had him, you felt all smart and I got him. 28 yards on the ground. Gross.
Hey, look. If you did start Taysom Hill in your quarterback spot, let's say I know it was I saw this on Twitter a lot, Andy, on Thursday. A lot of people who had Jalen Hurts who were worried about his status for today benched Hurts for Taysom Hill, and I thought to myself, oh boy, that may be one of those like old takes exposed things, like you know, cold takes kind of thing, and come Sunday afternoon. But, boy, I mean, that looks great now considering there's a real chance Hurts doesn't play. And after that long Deontay Harris touchdown to basically end the game, you know, Taysom Hill finished with over 20 points, right? And I think if you have those, like, rushing yard, you know, like some leagues have, like, if you hit 100 yards, you get like a bonus to your fantasy point total, like those kind of bonus things. If you have those kind of bonuses in your league, Taysom Hill probably had closer to 30 points, right?
So 101.
That Taysom Hill. I mean, I think he's got injured though, right? He had something people are afraid that he had the same injury that Russell Wilson had, like to the tendon on his throwing hand. It was something like that.
Listen, if there's any quarterback who can get by with an injury on his throwing hand, it's Taysom Hill, because that throwing hand isn't very good to begin with.
Yeah, it's like Tim Tebow. He's like Tim Tebow 2.0, basically.
He's Tim Tebow without the pose and without the celebrity, right? And more unlikable. You know,
And the godliness, too.
Like, I'm sure Taysom Hill, like, he probably gives to, like, children's charities and is a great guy. He has a great smile on his profile. But man, Joe, I just feel like I never want to meet Taysom Hill in person because I just feel like I'd scowl at him. It's like, how dare you? He's like, excuse me? As he's like feeding an orphan or something. I'm like, how dare you ruin fantasy football, Taysom Hill? What do you have on Sean Payton, you monster?
If somehow you and I meet in this like league championship and I win, I am without a doubt using some of those winnings. I'm going to buy you a Taysom Hill jersey.
Oh my gosh, that's what's happening.
I'm going to buy one for you.
That's okay. You know what? That's good. For the rest of that Lions team, TJ Hockenson, you probably have to. Jared Goff has been efficient. First multi-touchdown game since, I believe, week 4 last week. 2 touchdowns, but throwing 171. Like, you're not doing the wide receivers. Like you said, Jamal Williams and, I guess, Hockenson. But you set the expectations pretty low when it comes to the Lions, right?
Yeah, exactly. That offense is stuck in first gear, it feels like, all season. But still, I would still start Jamal Williams, because I think like earlier in the week, like on a Tuesday or a Wednesday or what have you, when Swift's status was still up in the air, and he is out for today, he has been ruled out. I think it was Dan Campbell who had said that Jamal Williams is quote unquote ready to carry the load, which again, you know, you never, it could be coach speak. I know you're always kind of wary about that, but at the same time, the Vikings allow 4.8 yards per carry. And I mean, Eli Mitchell just smoked them last week. So I think there's a real chance Jared Goff is going to throw like 20 passes in the direction of TJ Hockenson. But I think by and large, the way Jamal Williams is also used in the passing game, I think you have to start Jamal Williams this weekend. I think you have to.
Yeah, I think so as well. All right, let's get on to the next one.
Eagles at Jets.
Now, Jalen Hurts, folks, unlikely to play. Apparently, Jalen Hurts is really trying to make a game day case to play. So you love the moxie, you love the toughness. But mobile quarterback on a bum ankle, not a great scene.
Yeah.
Which would mean, show, the return, the dusting off of our producer, Josh Santos' favorite player, Minshew Mania, brother.
Oh, yeah.
It's back. The mustache. The madness of Minshew is returning. I haven't seen him in a while. I wonder if he still has the handlebars. He's still got all the...
The shorts.
It's... Can you have that much swag if you're a backup QB? Like, it seems like a little much.
I'll say this. Like, we've talked about this before, but, like, backup QBs will always carry... Like a little bit of mystique, right? Because you can be like,
what could they do?
Yeah, like as a backup quarterback can essentially do no wrong, essentially, right? Like, I mean, because you come in, the expectations are never all that high. If you succeed, boy, it's great. You're golden. And if you suck, well, you're backup, and that's why you're a backup, right?
So that's why you're backup.
So I think there's no losing as a backup quarterback, essentially.
Oh.
So hey, if Gardner Minshew comes in and does well, good for him. If Jalen Hurts does sit, however, I think I would. Like, you can probably get away with starting Minshew, but I would still, like, limit that to, I don't know, like a cheap DFS play or like the second QB in your 2 QB or super flex lineup. If you're in a 1 QB league, I really hope you have a better option than Gardner Minshew at this point of the season.
Well, here's hoping for you. This could be a big Miles Sanders Day show because Jordan Howard out, Boston Scott questionable, Kenneth Gainwell can't block. That's why he's not playing that much. He's not a good pass protector. He's not good in pass protection, so he's leaves your quarterback very exposed. So this could be a giant Miles Sanders day, right? This could be huge against the New York Jets, who we know are terrible all across the board, giving up the most fantasy points to running back. They're awful. I think the best play, because whenever a backup's in, you can't go to the automatic. Is it Devonta Smith, who's been a stud with Jalen Hurts? It might be. Also might not be. Is it Dallas Goedert? Could be, but maybe not. But one thing I think we should be comfortable with is that they're going to lean on Miles Sanders, especially in a week where it's not like you knew all week Gardner Minshew was definitely going to start, so he wouldn't have taken all the first-team reps. that's where I'm going to the running game here. I think Miles Sanders is the smash start, and I would play Goddard again because you probably don't have a better option. I would play him, but I would try to fade a bit on everybody else.
I think that's fair too. I think over the last month, the Eagles have essentially shifted to be just run the football, essentially, right? I know Jalen Hurts accounts for a huge chunk of that himself just because of the way he plays. But, yeah, with Boston Scott, Miles Sanders, and Kenneth Gainwell, Jordan Howard mixing in too, but, of course, he's not playing today. But still, it just the way the running game has been deployed, look at all the injuries and so on, there's a chance that Boston Scott does play, which I think is unfortunately would muddy the waters for someone like Miles Sanders. But I do think either way, especially if Hurts doesn't play, you're starting Sanders. I do think if Hurts does play, you could probably start Miles Sanders. But I do like, just generally speaking, flexing someone like Sanders if that's at all possible today for you. I see actually on the text line, and we're going to get to those in a couple of minutes, Andy, but I see a lot of Miles Sanders questions on the text line. I'm not surprised because the Eagles' run game is so all over the place, and the buys and the injuries always also play a factor into that, of course, as it always does. But yeah, I'm starting Miles Sanders in one league, for example. So I think you pretty much have to at this point.
Oh, no, I agree. Miles Sanders on DraftKings show, his salary is only $5,200.
That's not too bad.
That's a nice deal when you compare to Jonathan Taylor, $9,200 for obvious reasons. Eckler, $8,300. Joe Mixon, $81. Najee Harris, $7,700. Madison, $76. Like, you're getting, I think, out of Miles Sanders, how they'll use him today, RB1 production for back-end RB2 prices.
Yeah, if you're playing DFS, for sure, absolutely.
Yeah,
I do like it a lot. Yeah, I do like that a lot. I agree. He has to be played. And then on the Jets side of things, is it really? Are we at the point where it's like it's Elijah Moore, and it's still for Moore, it's like a flex play at best. I wasn't thrilled about starting him last year. Last week, and not because I think he's bad by any means, but simply because Zach Wilson, I just think, isn't ready for the NFL. Right. I think that's the unfortunate truth. Right,
tiny
the slim build, man. The giant suit that looked like it was three sizes too big for him. Yeah, I don't know. I hope he figures it out. But still, for fantasy this week, he has himself essentially no fantasy relevance. And much like Taysom Hill bringing down the value of every other non-Taysom Hill player on the Saints, Zach Wilson unfortunately does that, and it's compounded by the fact that Michael Carter is out on a short-term IR, right, with that ankle sprain. So that combined with Zach Wilson looking overwhelmed means that if Elijah Moore, like we said, best flex play, and you bench everyone else. No Corey Davis, no Ryan Griffin,
no.
Even Jamison Crowder. Just avoid all of them if you can.
Who would have thought we'd be clamoring for Mike White and Joe Flacco?
I know, right?
Who would have thought? That's where it is, because Elijah Moore is much better when one of those guys are in. Zach Wilson, not good. I think the Jets maybe after next year will be drafting another quarterback and keep going, right? Like Tevin Coleman, we've gotten a bunch of questions on. Like Tevin Coleman is a volume-based RB3 at this point, which means you don't want to play him. But, is he going to get touches? Yeah, maybe. Is that going to be anything to get excited about? Probably not. So, yeah, I think that's an easy one to try to fade away from on playing the Jets. Let's step aside. After the break, we'll get to your fantasy football questions on the People's Text Line, 590-590. Name and location, please. Or you can tweet at AndyMC81, at SNSLE, and at The Fantasy Show. Then we'll continue with our Danger Zone picks and the rest of our fantasy football start sits for Week 13 in the NFL. We are delivered by Domino's Pizza, and you're listening to The Fantasy Show across the Sportsnet Radio Network.
This is The Fantasy Show with Andy McNamara and Show Ali on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Hour two of the Fantasy Show kicks off right now, Canada-wide across the Sportsnet Radio Network. Good morning, everybody. Getting you ready for NFL Week 13. I'm Andy McNamara alongside Joe Lovey. Get us on Twitter. Give us a follow. We'll always help you out. At AndyMC81, at SNSLE, at The Fantasy Show. You can text in your fantasy questions too to the People's Text Line, 590-590. We are delivered by Domino's Pizza. And folks, you can get the Piece of the Pie rewards program by signing up for free, and all it is, so you go to dominoes.ca, you'll see a little blue pizza slice top right hand corner, you click on it, you sign up for free, then anytime you make an online order for $10 or more at dominoes.ca, you get 10 points, you get to 60 points, you get free pizza. It's perfect. dominoes.ca, that's dominoes.ca. And so I wanted to give away pizza today, but the Browns didn't win, and I'm trying to think as to a how we could give away pizza. Do we want to make it like maybe a score prediction for the Monday nighter, the Patriots Bills game, something like that?
Yeah, sure. How about this? How about we do this? Because I think I've seen this happen a lot on social media recently. It's like, you know, tell us how much ice time Austin Matthews will play and you'll be entered into a draw to win, something like that, right? So why don't we do something similar for the Monday night? It's just who you think will lead either team in receiving yards. So you can pick a player either from the Patriots or from the Bills for the Monday nighter, because that's a massive game with playoff implications, not just for the AFC East, but I dare say for the entire AFC, the way the Patriots and the Bills have been playing. So text us at 590-590. We'll get to your questions in 2 seconds, but text us at 590-590. And if you are correct after tomorrow night as to whichever player you pick leads either team in receiving yardage, you'll be entered into a draw to win some Domino's pizza.
So if I picked Stephon Diggs, I would be picking that Stephon Diggs was leading the Bills. He doesn't have to lead in the whole game for both teams, just the Buffalo Bills, right?
No, both teams. Both teams. Whoever is the leading receiver in that game, yardage-wise.
In that game.
Yeah.
Receiving yards in that game. Got it. Okay. So there you go, folks. You can text in, win yourself some Domino's pizza. Okay, you know what? Hey, let's open it up to the people. Let's hit the text line.
And now, your fantasy questions on the People's Text Line.
All righty. Yeah, let's do it. 590-590, name and location. And like we always say every week, if we don't get to your questions on the air, we will answer all of your questions afterwards. Andy and I will have a nice little phone call, and I will ask him about your rest of your fantasy questions. So let's get to as many as we can here. Let's see. I see Tony from Hamilton. Tony out in the hammer. He wants to know, he has Davante Adams on a bye. So his options this week, he has Cole Beasley, Christian Kirk, or Devontae Parker. Who should he start in? He doesn't say the format. He just says Adams is on a bye.
Ooh, so could it be Cole Beasley? That's I'm fading on our old unvaccinated friend there, Cole Beasley.
Me too.
With the return of Dawson Knox, I think I liked him in the sort of spot starts. He still has some relevance, but you know what? If I'm looking at it, man, I find it hard to go away from my guy from Christian Kirk, because I like the Parker question. I understand it. I'm just wondering, first game back after lengthy absence, Jaylen Waddle getting fed the ball a lot. I still think the highest floor, the safest pick is Christian Kirk, just because of his consistent usage, no matter who is in or out of that Cardinals lineup. So I'll say Christian Kirk against Chicago.
I'm going to go with Parker on this one, just because I think I'd seen Hopkins is going to play today, I think, against the Bears, but at the same time, he's going to be used, quote-unquote, sparingly, I think was the description. So you never want, first of all, you never want that when you're an owner of like a star player like DeAndre Hopkins, and it's been tough sledding for the if you're a Cardinals owner the last couple of weeks because of what's been happening with Murray and Hopkins. So it's certainly possible Kirk is the guy again, but I think for now, I think I'm still going to go Parker just because of what we saw last time out. When he's healthy, boy, Tua force feeds that guy the ball. So I'm going to go with Parker on that one. So Tony, hope that helps you with that split of Kirk and Parker between me and Andy. I'll go into this next one. Eddie from Angus, second last week of the regular season, boys. Two questions for you today in PPR. Well, I guess this matters less for QB, but still. He says Heinicke or Russell Wilson, first of all.
Oof, boy.
I can't believe we're actually entertaining that question. Because what? Like before the season, you'd have been like, oh yeah, what a stupid question.
Like,
but
are
I mean,
you crazy?
That's a great question, because Heinicke has actually been like, I mean, not great, but he's been pretty good at times, right?
No, and the thing is, we did see Russell Wilson. He got close to 20 fantasy points last week. Now the Seahawks themselves are an absolute mess. We know that. But is this a point where we can say, okay, maybe he's coming back a little bit, Russell, from the finger? Is he feeling good? They're playing Las Vegas, and Heinicke did have a down week. He's a roller coaster. But I would have to say I like the Heinicke matchup better. Listen, Russell Wilson could very well. I want to see it 2 weeks in a row, sure. Like, if Russell Wilson comes back this week and we see him at the end of the day, no matter how it looks, produce 20 fantasy points, I think I'd be comfortable playing him the following week against Houston, because he had 2 touchdowns last week, no interceptions. Mm-hmm. You know, it started to look a little bit more like himself, even in the loss, right? It was just like getting back in. I'll say Heinicke one more week. I want to see it again out of Russell.
Yeah, I'm going to go Heinicke as well. I do like the matchup for Washington against the Raiders. And the thing with Heinicke too is that he kind of like Russell Wilson too, but to a much greater degree, because there are, you know, the way the Washington offense works. he runs a lot, right? Like, he runs it with himself scrambled. A lot. Like, he yeah. like, his first, it almost feels like his second read. It's like he looks down the field to see if Terry McLaurin is open. If he's not, he takes off. That's essentially what, yeah. what his game plan has been over the last month and a bit. So, yeah, I'm going to go Heinicke as well. And then Eddie also wants to know, Elijah Moore or OBJ, Odell Beckham Jr., your favorite player in all of football?
OBJ. Elijah Moore. I'm putting the weight on the slender shoulders of Zach Wilson. Listen, Odell Beckham Jr., hip injury. I feel, this is what I'm saying, Shelf. You give me three straight weeks of Odell Beckham Jr. giving me high teen fantasy points and I'll be a believer. He hasn't been able to do that since 2016.
Hey, Andy, I don't think that's
unreasonable.
I'm just going to say the Browns could have used what Odell Beckham Jr. brought to the Rams.
Come on. Odell, get out of here. Odell, get your daddy to go make another video. Go get your papa to go make you another video complaining about Matt Stafford. Good. What a jerk!
Look, people, if you ever want to push Andy's buttons, you just you tweet in or text in about Odell Beckham Jr.
Odell Beckham, do it for 3 weeks in a row. He has not been able to put together three consecutive stellar WR1 weeks since 2016. That's a big enough 5-year sample size for me to be able to say I'm going to err on the side of wait and see it compared to not. So you got a nice matchup against Jacksonville. You got Arizona next week. This dude scores touchdowns in each of those games and gets you 18 to 20 fantasy points. I'll buy in. I'll bite the next week. But I'm going to have to see it. And until then, I'm going to err on the side of whoever the other guy is.
The trouble, too, is that with that one specifically, is that Moore plays in a 1 p.m. game and OBJ is both questionable. And I believe the Jags game is in the second slate of games, right? Yeah. So if that's the case, then, I mean, you may have to make that decision earlier rather than later. And because he's banged up, I don't know if you want to be waiting. And it's against the Jaguars, but you know what? We said this before. The Jaguars have been pretty stingy this year. Like, they've been a little stingy on defense, right?
So they've been getting better.
I know Zach Wilson is not great at quarterback right now for all the pass catchers there, but yeah, it might be a little more consistent target share when it comes to Elijah Moore. I see Mark from Toronto here. He texts in at 590-590. He says, I'm down a bit from Thursday's game, so I need some upside. Kirk Cousins or Kyler Murray at quarterback? Thanks very much. And again, I understand why he's asking that question, because I think the immediate read is to say, you play Kyler no matter what. And I think while that may be where I lean, Kirk Cousins has been, like, he hasn't been bad this year, right? He has, like, by any means. And the other thing is they're playing the god-awful Lions. So maybe this is the week to start Kirk Cousins with Kyler coming back off injury. I don't know. I think you could go either way here, even though I might give the slightest of edges to Kyler Murray.
I'm going to say Kyler Murray. And I'm with you. I think, because to word his question, he wants upside, right? He wants upside. So if I'm hearing that Kirk Cousins is a safe play. I think you can rely on Kirk Cousins getting you high teens fantasy points pretty much each week. He might get you 15, might get you 21, probably going to settle in 17-ish, which isn't great, but you can live with it. Kyler Murray had 3 weeks off with a high ankle sprain, plus the bye week. So that is a full month off. He is listed as questionable, but is expected to be at full strength this week. So even though it's against Chicago, who's really their defense, it's serviceable, but it's been neutered quite a bit now, right, with Khalil Mack out and all that. So I think you go with Kyler Murray in this one.
That's the thing, right? I am going Murray, like I said. But again, if you decide to go with Kirk Cousins, I think that's
you want
like,
me safer.
Yeah, it's definitely like, you're not going to get like a terrible fantasy day, like a Matt Ryan-esque fantasy play from either of these guys
probably
today,
not.
Right? Yeah, and like you said, the Bears defense is not what it was. Let's go to this one here. Steve in East York. He needs two of three wide receivers, Mike Williams, Devontae Smith, or Darnell Mooney. It's half PPR, Andy. So two of three. So you're essentially benching one of Mike Williams, Devontae Smith, or Darnell Mooney.
See, the Mike Williams scenario, I think, is it's tough because that matchup against Cincinnati has shootout written all over it. But since week five, Mike Williams has only hit double-digit fantasy points once, and that was 2 weeks ago against Pittsburgh, where he needed a touchdown to get there. I'm just not really trusting it. But on the other side of it, show, you got Devonta Smith with Gardner Minshew. If it was a healthy Jalen Hurts in there, I would go Devonta Smith all day. Can I trust it? And you're playing the Jets. I think you sit Devonta Smith of the three.
Wow, all right.
Because of the Minshew factor. Because of the Minshew factor, it's the unknown, right? And we could see, and we have seen, Mike Williams get used. We do not know how Gardner Minshew is going to work with Devonta Smith. So I'll take the body of work that I know, even if it is filled with questions, over the unknown with Devonta Smith.
You know, that's fair. I think that is definitely a fair way to approach that. I'll say bench Mike Williams, only because if Gardner Minshew does come in today, and again, you'll have to monitor that, because luckily that's a 1 p.m. starter. It's the first slate of games start, right? Which is good, because you'll be able to make that decision basically right before kickoff, essentially, right? Yeah. If Hurts plays, yeah, I think you have to start Devonta Smith. I think with Minshew, I'm still starting Smith, because he is the number one option on that team passing-wise. And Minshew, he would only be helped out by by throwing the ball to Smith as much as humanly possible. You know what I mean? So I think that's why I'm going with Smith. But again, I see where you're coming from because of the knowns and unknowns. But I'll go with Mike Williams to bench. And Andy says bench Devonta Smith for Steve from East York. Want to go with one more, and then we'll get back to our start sits?
Absolutely, yeah.
All right, I'm just going to pick one here. Oh, here we go. Ben from Thornhill. Good morning. In PPR, kick one of these off the island. Javonte Williams, Antonio Gibson, or Darrell Henderson. Now, Darrell Henderson is questionable with a thigh injury, so I don't know if you want to be waiting until the next slate of games to make the decision, but you might have to, right?
Right. Well, we're keeping Javonte Williams because Melvin Gordon is out. People
yes.
are frothing at the mouth show, because this is what we've been waiting for all year.
Oh, man.
You know, you feel bad in real life for Melvin Gordon. I don't want the guy to get hurt, but he is. And so this is where Javonte Williams against Kansas City, which we know can be had, right? So really, this could be a coming out party for Javonte Williams. People are certainly expecting it. We'll have to wait and see. So it's Williams, and who are the other two? There was
So if we're starting Javonte Williams, and for Ben, you have to bench one of Darrell Henderson and Antonio Gibson.
Oh, with JD McKissick out, I will bench Henderson. I think it's going to be a feed Gibson day.
Yeah, I'll go with that one too, right? I think McKissick, he was great last week, he had the two touchdowns, but he is out, I think, with a concussion, I want to say, right?
Yeah, concussion. Yeah, he's officially out.
Yeah, that's tough. So anyways, like you say, Antonio Gibson is a great start today. And there you go. Oh, and he also wants to know Carson Wentz or Russell Wilson. I think maybe, or do we both want to say Carson Wentz on that one?
I'll go Carson. Yep, go Carson Wentz.
All right, there you go. Well, we'll come back to all the texts in looking at the clock here, about 40 minutes or so. We will answer all of your questions via the text line at 590-590. So you can still send in your texts now if you want for the next 45 minutes or so, at really any time before kickoff. And we will answer all of those before kickoff starts at 1 p.m. Eastern. And of course, if you want to win a Domino's Pizza prize today, all you have to do is text us the name of a player you believe on Monday night between the Patriots and the Bills. So, of course, it has to be a New England Patriots or a Buffalo Bills player. But a player from one of those two teams who you believe will lead both teams in wide receiving yards. So if you believe that, Ramondre Stevenson will somehow lead the team in receiving yardage, you can text in that name. If you believe that Dawson Knox will lead the team in receiving yards, you can text in that name. Any player from the Patriots or Bills, text us at 590-590 and you'll be entered into a draw to win some Domino's pizza at the conclusion of Monday night's game.
Nice. I like it. One tweet before we get back to the Games 2 show. At Mando 5000, says, Pat Freiermuth or Logan Thomas at the TE spot, who you got? Mm. So it's Steelers versus Ravens there. And Logan Thomas was somebody I talked about in my Tuesday waiver wire articles a couple weeks ago, show to be one of those, like we chatted about early in the show, a proactive buy when he was just reestablished that he was going to be coming back from the IR but didn't play. If you could get on that, do it against the Raiders. So I like the matchup, especially with McKissick gone. But I don't know about you. I'm kind of on the Freiermuth bandwagon just because it seems like Big Ben, all that dead arm has left in is to short pass it to either Deontay Johnson or Pat Freiermuth.
Yeah, Pat Freiermuth has been great, right? I mean, look, maybe we should have known better, Andy. I mean, people had been saying, even when he was, before he had gotten drafted, people were comparing him to Heath Miller. And I mean, Heath Miller, we know the Miller or Roethlisberger to Miller connection from yesteryear. And, you know, you and I kind of laughed at that. But you know what? It has proven to be kind of true because Big Ben does throw the ball to Freiermuth like a lot, essentially, right? Well, if Big Ben does retire, like we were talking about earlier in the show, it's a question as to whether or not, like, what the value of essentially any other Steelers player will be next season. But Freiermuth has looked absolutely great. So I think basically the rest of the season, as long as Big Ben is healthy and is in there, I think you can start him most weeks, I would say.
Well, and Freiermuth has touchdowns in four of his past five games. Sheesh. So, yeah, I think Freiermuth there for sure. Okay, let's get back to the games here. What's up next? Let's go.
Cardinals at Bears.
All right, we talked about this one a little bit with Kyler Murray coming back. Four full weeks off, three games and a bye to get healthy. I think you play Kyler Murray with confidence. You track DeAndre Hopkins. Again, show it's probably like you've been waiting. Do you have a better option or not? If you set your fantasy expectations where he could be used, quote, sparingly, according to Adam Schefter today, to ease him back in, with more lower WR2 numbers, I think that's fine. I still like the Christian Kirk play myself.
Yeah, Christian Kirk is not a bad play, right? I mean, like I said before, I was benching him because of the options, like relative to like whoever else that was on that was on that question. But yeah, I think like generally speaking, I do like Christian Kirk. AJ Green, not a bad start either, right? Like especially if they're, like you said, they're easing guys back in. But still, I think if Kyler Murray is going to play, and like you said before, it looks like he will, I think you can get away with starting either of those two guys. You just, I think, you know, you have like tempered expectations. I know I say that virtually every week about someone. I think you temper your expectations about the Cardinals wide receivers this week. I know Rondale Moore he is shockingly tied for the team lead in targets over the past two games, but I don't know. I don't know if that's just like a Colt McCoy thing. And now that McMurray is back, that might like kind of dissipate a little bit. Obviously you start James Conner. I don't think you need us to tell you that. I also really like, just generally speaking, I really like the Cards defense. If you have the Cards defense as a play today, I think that could be a nice little, they're probably rostered in most leagues, but if you have a choice between like them and another defense, if you're one of those people who like to roster two defenses, unless you have like an absolute slam dunk pick at defense otherwise, I like the Cards defense today.
I like that defensive play a lot. James Conner, show a touchdown every week since week three, except for one.
Wild.
What a monster. Yeah. What a monster year for James Conner. So yeah, you're playing him for sure. And then when you look at the Bears, yeah, it's like I think Darnell Mooney has established himself enough as somebody you can get in as a WR2, WR3 flex. Like, I think you have to have him in the lineup, right? And Montgomery, David Montgomery is, again, based on volume, you're going to get him in. This whole Chicago offense just doesn't really excite me with a lame duck coach that you know is going to be fired.
Yeah, it definitely feels like he's going to be, right? It's funny because remember the Thanksgiving game? People were like, oh, well, he's been told he's going to be fired, Matt Nagy. And like if he loses, he's like done right after the game. And then the Bears won that game on the last second field goal against the Lions. Yeah. And then they're like, oh, we're not going to fire him after all, right?
He's so good.
Yeah, I don't know. It's what a terrible situation. I do look forward to talking about the Bears next year, because if Matt Nagy is not the coach and someone like a little more like offensively minded is the head coach there who can call plays
or stable.
It's hard to get much worse when it comes to a play calling perspective next year. So I'm looking forward to that. But as far as today, yeah, I think Darnell Mooney, WR2 for me, I would get him in if you can, because Andy Dalton is QB and he clearly likes to throw the ball to Darnell Mooney and he has no problem doing so. And David Montgomery, even though they're playing the Cardinals, I mean, he gets so much of the running game, like the work, right? He there are so few workhorses in fantasy football. I feel like you have to start the ones that are actual workhorses, you know what I mean? And so because of that, I feel like you have to start David Montgomery, essentially, right? Like Khalil Herbert, who was fantastic. I loved playing Khalil Herbert for the couple of weeks that I was able to. But now that Montgomery's back, Herbert plays like 15% of snaps. It's like something around the 14-15% mark in terms of all snaps in a game. So again, workhorse production.
He's a handcuff now.
Yeah, he is unfortunately a handcuff, like you said. But
and Cole Kmet too. Show Cole Kmet 11 targets in that Thanksgiving game. His groin injury designation has been removed, so should be pretty good to go when it comes to Andy Dalton, who knows, you know, more consistent veteran tight end or quarterback who likes to use the tight end. So
it's true.
I think that's a good play there as well. All right, on to the next.
Chargers at Bengals.
this one could be a fun little shootout here, Show, because the Chargers defense can score or can get scored on in bunches, and the offense can score in bunches, and same with the Bengals. Like, the Bengals defense is better overall than I think we thought, but still can be had. Like, this one, I just want to see what the over-under is on this one, because I would, I might, 50, I think, right?
Yeah, it was relatively high. I think you're right. This I think this could be the the best fantasy game of the week, right? Because you can start a lot of players for this one. Like from the Chargers, you could start Justin Herbert, you could start Austin Eckler, Keenan Allen, you could start Mike Williams and Jared Cook if you want to. I would avoid it if possible, but you could still start them. And on the Bengals, you could for sure start Burrow, Mixon, Chase, and Higgins, right? I mean, like that's probably the most amount of players in a single game. Maybe this entire week you'd be starting like in a single matchup, essentially.
I think you're right, and even like I wouldn't recommend it, but you could even make a case if you're in real trouble. Tyler Boyd as a bye week flex potentially, like he's flashed from time to time, inconsistent with the other mouths. But you're right, there is a lot to look at with this team, both quarterbacks too. Like there's a lot to work with in this ball game, so that's a fun one. Pretty much anybody you think that you could light up in that one, do right. I think that's pretty. That's pretty safe to do. Let's do one more and then we'll break here, Show. Let's get one more game in.
Sure.
Buccaneers at Falcons.
All right. Antonio Brown.
We should get you to do those things. Why bother having them recorded? Just have you do it.
Yeah, I'll do. Hey, if I pay me the big voice guy money, I'll do it. I'll do it today.
Sure, all right, sure.
Antonio Brown for the Buccaneers. Gone for at least 3, maybe longer. Who knows? But what that does is it, again, opens things up for Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, and to your point earlier in the show, especially Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah, 120. I was just looking up his yardage. 123 yards on 7 catches. That was just from last week. And then he's averaging 9 targets a game the last 2 weeks. And now he plays the Falcons defense, which is one of the worst defenses in the entire NFL. So, yeah, I think you have to start him today. There's no question about it. I said in my start sit article that I do for sportsnet.ca every week, Andy, I said that I'm probably not going to list Gronk in those articles anymore after this week, just because I think those kind of articles, you try not to list like the bona fide every week starters, right? Like you're never going to see
obvious,
like, you're never going to see like a Derrick Henry. I mean, when he was healthy, you never see Derrick Henry. You never see Patrick Mahomes. Jonathan Taylor. Like, you're never going to see Travis Kelce. You'll never see those guys in those kinds of articles because you should be starting those guys every week and you don't need someone to tell you to start those guys, right? I think Gronk was like a risk, maybe not risky, but I think people had some questions about him last week. There should be no more questions about Gronk going forward, right? Like I think everyone is going to be starting Chris Godwin and Mike Evans and Leonard Fournette, especially after that monster 40-plus day he had last week. My God. Yes. No one's going to be benching that guy for the rest of the season. Tom Brady, too, even though he's been a little underwhelming, you're still starting that guy, right? So the only question, I think, had been Gronk. But now with Mr. Big Chest, with Antonio Brown out for a couple more weeks, I think, you're basically starting everyone on the Tampa Bay offense. And on the Falcon side, I mean, is it just Cordarrelle Patterson and, like, maybe Kyle Pitts at this point, Andy?
Cordarrelle Patterson, the ultimate Swiss Army knife weapon, yes. Because you can't categorize him as a running back or a wide receiver. He's everywhere, and he's definitely the go-to. So absolutely. Show, if you're in bye week situations, let's call it like I am, I had to go pick up Russell Gage as the best wide receiver option for a flex. I don't love it, but I see from last week in that game versus Jacksonville, he did get a touchdown. He did have 7 targets. The week before, he had 8. 2 weeks before that, 8 as well. So the volume is getting there. We know with Tampa Bay, the weakness is that secondary. The pass coverage, which has gotten a bit better, but still not great. So I think Russell Gage as a sort of break glass for emergency flex. He's a cheap play on DraftKings as well, if you're looking a little contrarian play. That's something that if you got better choices, for sure. But I think you could see a spot where it could go. For Kyle Pitts, Show, it just seems like opposing defenses, rightfully so, are just focusing in and saying, hey, you're going to have to beat us with somebody other than Kyle Pitts. Yeah. So I think you play him, but you got to look. The last 2 weeks, he's had 6 or fewer fantasy points.
Yeah, like that's not even tight end 2 territory, I would say, right? Like it's been, and I don't think it's really like entirely his fault. I think, like you said, I think it's just defenses are realizing he's the only viable player who catches the ball from the hands of Matt Ryan, right? So I think hopefully that changes, but because like we said before, the Buccaneers are gettable, if not, I don't want to say like entirely vulnerable, but they are gettable through the air. So I think you can start Kyle Pitts, but you know, there might be better options on the streaming, but it's hard to stream when you have a guy like Kyle Pitts, right? Like, it's hard to bench Kyle Pitts for like a Foster Moreau because you never know like really what's going to happen. But at the same time, he, like you said, he has been not great this past week, but yeah, I seventh most fantasy points allowed is where the Bucs stand, right, in relation to tight ends. So maybe it gets a little better this week.
Well, we're going to step aside, take our final break, come back, finish off the remaining slate of Week 13 games for Fantasy Football Starts. Let's get to our Danger Zone picks as well when the Fantasy Show continues, delivered by Domino's Pizza across the Sportsnet Radio Network.
This is the Fantasy Show with Andy McNamara and Show Ali on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
We are back, Week 13 edition in the NFL of the Fantasy Show, and we are delivered by Domino's Pizza. Folks, perfect football food today. Carryout deals, delivery deals, all at Domino's.ca. Get your pizzas, your side dishes, like delicious cheesy bread, your marble cookie brownie for dessert, chocolate lava cake, you got boneless chicken, of course, all the pizza you want too. Get it all at Domino's.ca. That's Domino's.ca. And Show, we're giving away some Domino's Pizza as well. Tell the people how they can win.
Yeah, of course. So like we say, we like to give away some prizes on this show. So if you want to win a Domino's Pizza prize, all you have to do is text us at 590-590 with the name of the player you believe will lead both the Patriots and Bills on Monday Night Football in receiving yardage. It can be any player from either team. If you think Stephon Diggs will be the leading receiver in yardage for both teams at the end of Monday night, text in his name, Dawson Knox, Stevenson, Jacoby Myers, Kendrick Bourne, whoever you want, you can text in those names to us at 590-590. And if you are correct, you'll be entered into a draw to win a Domino's Pizza prize. Andy will lick the stamp himself and mail it to you.
That is correct. Although I think I have the sticker stamp, so I don't actually have to lick it.
Like the envelope sealed, maybe?
Oh, I don't do that either. I tape it.
Really?
That stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That stuff's gross. Licking an envelope? You kidding me? I got mine from like the dollar store too. I'm not licking. I don't know what type of things on that.
Yeah, all right, fair.
Poison myself.
We live in the COVID era, so you kind of have to avoid that as much as possible.
That's right. You get some Andy spit on your Domino's pizza. No, it's tape. People, don't worry about it.
Clone okay. Andy from this spit. Yes. Also, I know we did cards bears in the last segment. Stacey Dales from NFL Network. She, I guess, is in Chicago. She's at Soldier Field. Soldier Field. Gosh, I don't know why I mispronounced that word, but she's at Soldier Field, and she said head coach Cliff Kingsbury just officially told me that Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins are both playing today versus the Bears.
Both playing today. Okay, so that's Hopkins still likely going to be limited, but the Kyler Murray factor, I think, is an absolute must play.
Yeah.
Absolute must play. Okay, let's get to the next game.
Jaguars at Rams.
Now, this is a case with the Jags that they are just battered with injuries, Show. And it's like, just when you think Dan Arnold was developing into a tight end one, he's on injured reserve. James Robinson is going to be early in the week, it looked like he wasn't going to play. Now it looks like he'll probably play, but they're going to see how warm-up goes, which is those dreaded game time decisions.
Yeah.
If he does suit up, though, Show, I'd feel comfortable playing him and not trying to get too cute and going with Carlos Hyde.
He's probably the only guy you can play from this offense right now, right? Like, you can't really play Trevor Lawrence. You can't really play Marvin Jones or Laviska Shenault. Our guy, Dan Arnold, Darnold, has been put on IR, right?
D. Arnold.
He probably won't return this year, which is really unfortunate, which means your guy, James O'Shaughnessy, will probably get in there. But, I mean,
James O'Shaughnessy.
Yeah, I knew you were going to. There you go. That's lovely.
Irish name.
Can you say it again? Say it again for me.
James O'Shaughnessy, caught on the football today, Show.
Ooh, I love it. Yeah.
Caught on the football. Touchdown, O'Shaughnessy.
I hope, you know what? I hope he catches a touchdown just so we can talk about this again next week.
Yes.
But James Robinson is the only guy you can get away with starting, I think, against the Rams of all teams.
Yeah, and you know what? Laquon Treadwell. How the heck is that guy still in the league? What a bust he's been. He got 8 targets, 4 catches last week. He's been moved up the depth chart. Like, Marvin Jones on a bit of a prayer with volume, and that he's had chemistry with Trevor Lawrence in the past. Like, I guess as a desperation flex, but really, it's just James Robinson for me today.
Yeah, exactly. And I think I'd seen, I closed the tweet, unfortunately, but I think I'd seen from one of the insiders that it looks like the team, the Rams, that is, they're not optimistic that Darrell Henderson can play today. So just like factor that into your decision-making today, because again, this is the second slate of games today at the 4:25 p.m. or 4:05 p.m.
Yeah.
Eastern. So just make sure you are aware of that when you're deciding who you want to start in the 1 o'clock slate and like not hold out hope that Henderson will play, because there's a chance he doesn't play. So if he doesn't play, Sony Michel will be the guy you start. I don't know if you really want to, even against the Jags.
I don't like him at all, Show.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I would avoid him if possible. Just avoid the running game if Henderson doesn't play today.
Like, Sony Michel has not been able to be fantasy relevant at all since he's come over. And does him getting the start give him more opportunity? Yes. Am I confident he'll take advantage of it? No, I'm not. Like, Cooper Kupp for the Rams, obviously. Now, Matt Stafford does not have an injury designation, but apparently that back pain is chronic. It's come back. The California Sun Show can only do so much, I guess.
Apparently.
Matthew Stafford, he's banged up. Odell Beckham Jr., questionable. I'm going to keep going with my guy, Van Jefferson, who had a big game last week. I still think Van Jefferson's a guy. And Tyler Higbee, you know, like, I find it very hard to get excited fantasy-wise, Show, about any tight end outside of, like, three guys. Like, Tyler Higbee, it's like, yeah, like we say every week, he could be a tight end one, but that could be getting you 8 fantasy points.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, I think the only bona fide starts in this game at this point are Stafford and Kupp, and I think even Van Jefferson, like, in my opinion, he's in the same boat as OBJ, just in the sense that both of their scores came on things that you can't really be like, ah, yeah, that's going to happen for sure, right? Whereas, like, if he was constantly getting peppered with the same time, I'd be a little more bullish on him. But I think for me, they're both in WR3 territories, albeit if you're, like, tiering those guys, Jefferson will be at the top of the tier and OBJ would probably be at the bottom of the tier. So they're not as close as you might think if you both say they're both WR3s. But, yeah, I think the only guys you can, like, for sure start in this game with Henderson injured is our Kupp and Stafford, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'm with you. All right, let's get on to the next one.
Football team at Raiders.
Football team. Go football team. No J.D. McKissic. Antonio Gibson, play him. I think huge game for McKissic. Curtis Samuel also not expected to play. Not that really. Is anyone getting too excited about Curtis Samuel Show? Like, so. You know, I think it's Terry McLaurin. It's Antonio Gibson. And in certain situations, like we talked about earlier, like V. Russell Wilson, in a option of whether to play, Taylor Heineke certainly has some factor. But that floor, it's not a floor, Show. It's a basement. But the ceiling could be high as well.
Yeah, the Raiders defense, pardon me, they allow the fourth most touchdowns opposing QBs. So if that maybe like slants you a little more in favor of Heineke. But yeah, it's really just those three guys. And like you said, if you have better options at QB, you should be like, no one's saying bench Patrick Mahomes for Taylor Heineke, right? Like I would even maybe take Derek Carr over Taylor Heineke the way that Washington defense has been playing. But yeah, that's like, I think a Gibson and McLaurin are must starts for sure. Logan Thomas, maybe like a flex perhaps. The Raiders defense does give up a fair amount of points, like overall yardage, touchdowns, et cetera. They allow 11.3 fantasy points on average to opposing tight ends. So just keep that in mind when it comes to Logan Thomas. We mentioned Derek Carr. I think you start him. I think you start most QBs against the Washington defense at this point of the season. Josh Jacobs is the question mark. Because you and I are you've been really high on Hunter Renfro all season. I think he's, at this point, he's an every week must start, especially with no Darren Waller. I think he can get away with starting Foster Moreau. But Josh Jacobs is questionable. Now, I think he probably will play, but at the same time, like if he is questionable with like an ankle or a leg injury, I mean, I think you start him if he plays, but just, I think, again, temper expectations with someone like Jacobs today, I think.
I have an update from NFL Network's Ian Rapoport. This stuff a few minutes ago coming in. Ian Rapoport reports Josh Jacobs' ankle is expected to play in week 13, questionable with that ankle injury midweek, but he always participated in some capacity in practice all week long, so he is expected to get a full workload against Washington. However, whenever it's something like an ankle where a running back, you got to cut, you got to pivot, right? Those are always, you're going to be nervous, but I think it looks like you should feel comfortable playing Josh Jacobs.
Yeah, and remember, too, I mean, as long as he is in, whenever he's in a game, he has out-touched Kenyon Drake, like, essentially, almost entirely, right? Like, Kenyon Drake's role is so low at this point. I know he's the highest-paid backup running back in the entire NFL, but still, like they clearly just like Josh Jacobs more, right? So if he plays, you start him, but just, again, maybe keep your expectations lower.
Yeah, you got to do that. And then, yeah, Hunter Renfrow, as you said. Foster Moreau, it's a cutesy play, show. I think there is, you know, he has scored a touchdown. So, you know, I don't hate it. Oh, just $2,700 on DraftKings as well, by the way, Foster Moreau. So you want to get, spend up elsewhere and pop a guy in like that. That might be okay. All right, let's get to the next one.
Ravens at Steelers.
Oh, come on, Pittsburgh. Let's go. Rough them up a little bit. TJ Watt back. That's it. That's it. Yeah, come on, Big Ben, you old son of a. Come on, one time. Let's go. I'm not playing Roethlisberger, obviously. Deontay, it's the same story, Joe.
It is, yeah.
Deontay Johnson, Pat Freiermuth are the short target guys. Could Chase Claypool get one and run a lot? Yes. Can you rely on it? Absolutely not. And Najee Harris, as teams have really. Just gotten used to that. Okay, it's going to be a short throw, so we can stack the box and make Roethlisberger throw. Najee Harris's value in production has dipped. Still serviceable, though. I still think I was surprised at how limited he was against, or effective he was rather against the Bengals. I think he has a better day against the Ravens, but they have given up the eighth fewest fantasy points to running back. So, and the Ravens are also one of the worst teams at defending the tight end. So that's another spot with those quick passes where I think you just go with the usual suspects for the Steelers.
Yeah, usual suspects. Like you said, Deontay, Freiermuth, and Harris. Yeah, I mean, like no one's benching Najee Harris, right? Like he's a bona fide top five running back, like right now with all the injuries and so on. And honestly, will probably be taken in the first round next year, the way things are, right? Like his usage is crazy. He's the guy's 52 receptions, Andy. That's insane for a running back. Like that's wild, right? So I think you have to, like, I know you said about the stat about how the Ravens are strong against the running game, but I mean, with the way he's using the passing game, no one's benching Najee Harris. So we talked about the Steelers, and I mean, again, it's kind of the usual suspects for the Ravens as well, right? I mean, you're starting Lamar Jackson, you're starting Mark Andrews. I think you can get away with starting Marquise Hollywood Brown. The question marks, I guess, are really like Rashad Bateman and Devonta Freeman. I think in a pinch, you can start them, but I think you're expecting like flex end production from Rashad Bateman maybe at best. And like Freeman again, yeah, like flex play, low end RB2 type for me. I think, again, you can start these guys, but you should be expecting lower production from both of them.
Yeah, Devonta Freeman has been okay as an RB2. Like he has been okay. It's not bad. Like I've actually been pleasantly surprised. I just want to show for Rashad Bateman, there are just some players people hang on to. Tell me when Rashad Bateman, with all the hype that he gets every single week, has ever delivered for you. I know he's a rookie. I like the talent coming out of college, right? Maybe he improves next year. When has he ever produced? The answer is one game. He got you 14 fantasy points in PPR. That was week 10. Every other game has been either, like, he hasn't eclipsed 8 fantasy points. He got, like, 9 in a bit, hit 10. Like, these are not big numbers. These are not worth the chances to be like, oh, Rashad, I'm going to try to have him as my WR2. No. I don't think, unless you really need help, and you don't have any other options, that you look to Rashad Bateman. I have no expectations of him fantasy-wise for the rest of the year. I don't understand the hype and people wanting to cling to Rashad Bateman when he has not proven it since he started playing in week 6.
Well, I think it's because I know we got to move on here because we still got 3 games left to go, but he sees a lot of targets, right? He last week was the first time he had seen less than 6 targets all year, which is kind of wild, right? Yeah. I think he gets a lot, like target share wise, he is easily the third, sometimes even second most important receiver on that entire offense. And Lamar, I think it just coincides
with,
like, Lamar, it's not, but here's the thing. It's just Lamar Jackson has not fallen off, but it's just after a torrid start to the year has just kind of come back down to being like, instead of amazing, has been very good. And when he's very good, he just, he's, you know, mortal. I mean, still they still beat the Browns last week. So I don't know what more you can really
four expect. Interceptions.
What was the score of that
I'll
game?
Hang my hat on that.
What was the score of that game last week, Andy? I don't remember.
16-10. It was gross. Oh,
okay.
Browns offense lost that one. Four. Let me say four interceptions for Lamar, who still can't threw the football.
Well, the W. He got the W, Andy. That's what's important,
right? That's fine. That's fine. Let's move on. Next one.
49ers at Seahawks.
All right, let's rumble through these. Boy, that offense on Seahawks show.
Scary.
You know, I want to see it one more week from Russell Wilson. I could understand you playing him. I'm not touching the running backs. I don't want the tight ends. I love DK Metcalf as a guy. I love him. But can I count on him in this offense? Like, you're probably going to have to play a DK or a Lockett, but I would try to avoid, like, DFS, I'm not touching any of those guys' show. Like, I don't want any of them.
Yeah, the Seahawks offense is a mess, right? Adrian Peterson getting elevated to the active roster. I don't know, man. Like, Seahawks, like, there's going to be some serious changes, I think, in Seattle in the offseason. It may include Pete Carroll no longer being the head coach of this team. But yeah, I agree with you. I mean, look, you have to start Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf because they are, like, the way they can blow up any week. But I can't recommend benching them because of how they're used. But at the same time, boy, it has been really disappointing in Seattle. I want to see it from Gerald Everett a little more. Just before I can say start him with, like, more confidence, you know what I mean, despite seeing all the targets he's gotten over the last couple of weeks. On the 49ers side of things, I think no Deebo Samuel. I think he's out with the groin injury. I think Brandon Ayuk is going to – maybe this is a Brandon Ayuk clock, let's say, for the 49ers.
I think it's Ayuk, Kittle, and Eli Mitchell, for the 49ers. So let's roll on. We got a couple more. Let's go.
Broncos at Chiefs.
Javonte Williams Day, everybody. Could it be finally the breakout game? Everybody wants it. Everyone's expecting it. Problems are the Chiefs know that as well. The defense has gotten better overall for Kansas City. Do they try to load it up and make Teddy Bridgewater beat you? Jerry Jeudy, I want more out of him. I got him on my bench. He hasn't been getting me any more than like 8-9 fantasy points.
Yeah.
The passing game just doesn't seem to be quite their show, but I think... And one thing for confidence, you know Javonte Williams is going to be getting a healthy workload.
Yeah, this is one of the league's, like, the Chiefs are one of the league's worst run defenses. So with Melvin Gordon out, I think you can expect a healthy share of snaps for Javonte Williams. And yeah, Chiefs, I mean, I don't know, we need to talk too much about these guys, right? Mahomes, Hill, Kelsey are all starting. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I think you can probably start. But, I mean, look, yeah, if he starts, I think you can play him. But at the same time, yeah, I think, you know, if you don't want to risk it and wait until Sunday night, maybe just leave him on the bench and play a different guy this week. Although, with all the injuries and buys, you may not have a choice.
Yeah. Now, he has an illness. It was reported this morning that he is expected to play. So you should be okay, but just keep that in mind. All right, let's go last game.
Patriots at Bills.
Ooh, this is the big one for the AFC East shows. New England Patriots, McCorkle Jones lighting up the league. What are we going to see in not just show a battle for the AFC East, but really who could be seen as the favorite in the entire AFC coming out of this one?
It's very possible. It's very possible, right? I mean, this is a heavyweight matchup. Apparently the conditions are going to be snowy. It's good potential for a snow game in Orchard Park, New York, for this game on Monday night. So just keep that in mind, because I feel like whenever there's a snow game, it basically means that, like, this chaos is going to happen, right? Like, something wacky is going to happen. All bets are off for this one. I know the point spread is pretty low. I think last I checked, it was 2.5 points, I think. So I think, again, you know what, fantasy-wise, I'm Patriots, I think I'm staying away from most players that are not running backs, you know what I mean? And I think even then, the Bills just limit all offenses. Like, this is going to be a relatively low-scoring game. It may not be that attractive from a fantasy perspective. I've seen some questions on the text line about Ramondre Stevenson. Like, I guess you can flex him, but just with how they use both Harris and Stevenson, I don't know that you want to trust either of them too much against
Harris
a Bills defense. Well, here's the thing. Like, the Bills allow the fewest points to running backs. Like, do you want to risk it on a Monday night, the last game of the week? I don't know that I would, you know?
No. I wouldn't. And with the weather factor, could be Matt Breida. Man, do I want to be trusted that Bill? Man. Like, desperation flex. Like, I wouldn't put any Bills running back in if I could avoid it. Breida seems like he's been kind of explosive, but Josh Allen, you're lighting up for sure. I wouldn't play... Mac Jones, because even on, like, good days, like, real life wise he's been tremendous, but even on really good fantasy days he usually doesn't hit that 20 point mark. And then, you know, you're gonna play Diggs, right? I'm fading on Beasley. Could be a nice day for Dawson Knox as well. I think you go sort of usual suspects and try Matt Breida as a desperation flex.
Yeah, that's really it, right? Like, I think largely you want to avoid the non-stars. Like, you want to play Diggs and Allen, avoid most other guys other than those guys.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, that's it for the games. Let's get quickly to the Danger Zone.
Welcome to the Danger Zone.
Danger Zone.
Danger's my middle name.
Danger Zone!
When I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
Oh, and so are we, Baker. Let's finish off the program with this show, my Danger Zone pick. We talked about him earlier. I'm dusting off. I'm shining up that bald head of Rex Burkhead. And we're going sexy, Rexy, baby. I'm saying touchdown. And I'm going to say that as far as the running back, Rex Burkhead hits 15 or more fantasy points and a touchdown in this game, which for Rex Burkhead is pretty much saying he's like running for 200 yards.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm saying 15 or more fantasy points and a touchdown for Rex.
All right, I'll go the same, but I will just replace the name Rex Burkhead with Jamal Williams. Jamal Williams is going to be 15 or more points, will score a touchdown, and you know what? He will lead all Lions players in fantasy value today.
Oh, okay. I like it. All right. There you go, everybody. Enjoy the Week 13 games. For Josh, for Show, I'm Andy. You've been listening to The Fantasy Show, delivered by Domino's Pizza across the Sportsnet Radio Network.